The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello there. Welcome to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. So glad that you've joined us today. We're doing Q&A today with Philippe Sterling and Bob Wilkin, but today's content is a continuation from yesterday and the day before, talking about modes of humanity and the eschaton, and today looking at the question, on the new earth, will there continue to be marriage and childbirth? If so, what are the evidences for it? That discussion coming right up, I want to let you know about Grace Evangelical Society's website, where you can find our resources and articles, and it's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. One thing you might want to look for right now, and time is really of the essence on this, our National Conference 2023, happening May the 22nd through the 25th, and the details are right there on the website, faithalone.org. And here is Ken Yates with a descriptive word about that conference.
One thing about the conferences that I really enjoy is the fellowship. We go to lunches together, we go to dinner together, and you always see people sitting around talking about passages that they're dealing with or certain issues that Free Grace people are talking about. And it's so great to be around these guys. You know, you'll see them, they'll do a plenary, and then you can sit around afterwards or go to lunch afterwards and say, hey, let's dive into that a little bit deeper. Last year, they had these big coffee pots out there in the morning, you know, five or six of us just sitting around talking about different theological issues. We also had all these games that were out there, putt-putt. It's just a fun time, and it's relaxed, and I just can't recommend it enough.
Thank you, Ken Yates, for that word about the conference, the Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2023. And friend, we want you to be there if you possibly can. Once again, details at faithalone.org. And now, here is today's discussion.
Philippe, we're taking a long time to answer this one question, but I find it exciting, and we're talking about two modes of humanity, and we ended the last show basically saying it's possible, and in light of certain scripture, maybe probable, that on the new earth, there will continue to be marriage, there will continue to be childbirth, and there will continue to be people in natural bodies. And you've got some scripture that talks about that. So let's talk about the evidence for it. And by the way, I think the reason why this is important, this isn't just academic, it's very practical, giving us excitement about the life to come, right?
Yes, it strengthens our hope. When we're grounded in the hope of everything that God's going to bring about, that motivates us to faithfulness and to steadfastness, to purify ourselves, eagerly looking for the coming of Christ. As Hebrews says, you know, that hope anchors us. This life is just a brief period in which we're preparing for the life to come. The life to come on the new earth and the new heaven is going to be a dynamic, exciting, expanding, filled with service, filled with wonder, and using all the capabilities that God has instilled in us as his image bearers.
That's great.
And the question is, will that carry on both for those of us who are glorified and a natural humanity totally fulfilling and going much beyond even what the original creation mandate was for Adam and Eve? Now, what I'd like to do, if it's okay, Bob, is go to two passages in the Old Testament and then two passages in the New Testament.
Good.
Now, there are more, but at least, you know, to point, there is a biblical basis for this theological inference that we're making about two modes of humanity. Let's look at Psalm 102. I'm going to start with verse 25. It says, of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. So this is a new heaven and a new earth that's there. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. So here, a new heaven and a new earth, we're told there are children there, and those children also will have their descendants, which will continue. So it talks about a dynamic expansion continuing on in a new heaven and a new earth.
That's great. All right.
And then the second passage concerns David, Ezekiel chapter 37, and I'm going to start with verse 24. He says, David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They will all walk in my judgments, observe my statute, and do them. They shall dwell in the land that I have given to my servant David, where your fathers dwell, and they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. So again, the repetition of forever. And David exercised as a prince, ruling forever, but their children, their children's children forever. So again, here in the Old Testament, in several passages, we have this idea of continuing generations.
Forever.
Forever. So that gives us reasonably, support from the Old Testament. That carries on with the theological inference from Genesis 1 and 2 about God's creation purposes for humanity.
Right.
Going to the New Testament, two passages I'll refer to. The one is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever.
Well, I've never thought of it that way. So you're saying there will be generations going on forever?
Yes, that's what it says
here.
That's what Paul says. And it's in context, of course, God can do so much more than we can ask or think according to his power. So the church will continue forever, and there may be generations beyond the church. The church, of course, is all glorified, but there are generations of which we continue to rule over in an ever-expanding.
Okay, quick point before we go to the other New Testament passage. We in the church will not be in natural bodies. We will not be having children. We will not be given in marriage. We will be part of the glorified mode.
Yes.
We will be ruling, if we are faithful in this life, we will be ruling over people in natural bodies.
Exactly. And enabling them to carry on their creative purposes.
Wow.
There's an ever-expanding population that, first of all, populates the new earth and then expands on to other planets, if there is of the solar system, of the galaxy, and ultimately in other galaxies. Now, are we there with them and to provide a connection to the New Jerusalem as they expand out?
Wow.
So again, there's a purpose for us glorified people, and there's a purpose also with the natural humanity that expands. Now, when we go to Revelation 21 and 22,
all right,
there's, again, a definite support for that. And in Revelation 21, it talks about the nations of the earth coming to the New Jerusalem.
Right.
And bringing their glory into it.
What is that, 21:24?
Yeah, let's begin with 24. Talks about the light of the New Jerusalem, the glory of God illuminates it, and the Lamb is its light, and the nations shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor unto him. And so, we have the New Jerusalem. Of course, it's the home of all the glorified, all the resurrected. But yet, there's that separate group of the nations of the earth that are on the earth, not in the New Jerusalem, but have a connection to it and come occasionally.
Right.
In pilgrimage.
And these people are Gentiles.
These people are Gentiles.
In fact, nations.
The nations mean the Gentiles.
The ethne, yeah.
And then we go to chapter 22, verse 2, which talks about the tree of life. It says, in the middle of the streets, and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. It says, the leaves of the tree were for the healing, the well-being, the health of the nations.
Now, why would they need healing if they were in glorified bodies?
Right. Apparently, the leaves give them a particular ability to maintain themselves in a natural state, yet forever. So, again, there's these nations, that are there, that need the health-giving vitality that comes from the leaves of the tree of life.
It would seem that even people in natural bodies probably would have limited pain But probably they would have some pain, wouldn't they? I mean, it would seem like when they skin their knee, it's going to hurt.
Well, of course, now pain is something that is a gift, actually,
right.
that keeps us from doing things that we shouldn't do. And of course, connected with just the whole sensory apparatus that we have. It's how we live in a natural world.
Right.
We have to be able to see, to smell. You know, all of that is the way we process things, including the nerve sensation in our bodies that are there. So again, death will not be possible. I guess major injury and that doesn't quickly heal, you know, will not be occurring. But somehow, again, I'm going to make a theological inference. If there's an ever-expanding humanity going out, there still needs to remain a connection to the New Jerusalem, to the Tree of Life, and to God. There'll be pilgrimages there and everything. But the leaves of the Tree of Life might be one way that a connection is maintained. And perhaps those leaves will forever be exported out, you know, as humanity expands. But yet the connection remains, you know, to the Lamb, to the New Jerusalem.
Okay, I think I need a book on this, Philippe. So you write a book. Take your three articles, and y'all go to faithalone.org and look up Two Modes of Humanity by Philippe Sterling from around 2012 or 2013. Maybe we can expand that into a book. I think this is exciting stuff.
Again, it does involve inferences. It does involve expanding our imagination, but it's grounded. It's grounded in Scripture. And it's grounded in, I think, what are reasonable theological inferences we make from the Scriptures. And of course, all of theology involves inferences.
Right.
You know? So I don't think this is wild speculation. I think it is grounded.
Yeah.
But we're certainly, God has given us a desire to understand. I think the reality would be much greater than what we can think or imagine, as Ephesians 3:21 says.
Well, thank you, Philippe. This has been very challenging to me, and I hope to all of you. And in the meantime, until tomorrow's show, and until the Lord Jesus returns,
let's keep grace in focus.
The Zane Hodges Commentary on James, entitled The Epistle of James, Proven Character Through Testing, is available at discount to Grace in Focus listeners right now at faithalone.org. Get half price through April the 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word JAMES. That's faithalone.org. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And on the next episode of Grace in Focus, In the Eternal State, how can we possibly know the people we knew while on earth? Join us again next time on Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.